So today we're going to talk about light. And the book of Isaiah, in the latter portion of the book, speaks about light and how God, through the people of Israel, brings a light into the world, and specifically through his servant, the promised one, light into the world, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, before we get into Isaiah, I want to begin in John chapter 8. So we're going to begin in John chapter 8 as we think about this thought, Jesus is the light of the world. So in John chapter 8, listen to the word of God, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus says it again. Let me repeat it. I am the light of the world, he says. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The book of 1 John tells us in chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So with that as our backdrop, and I do that purposely because we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, and so often today in our church, we sometimes look at the Old Testament and we say, well, this was written to the Jewish people of Judea, which it was originally. But I want us to be able to see how the Word of God fits together. I believe it's important for us today as the church to discern and understand and realize that much of what is our creeds and our foundation for us as the church found its origin and beginnings in the Old Testament. And so we go to the book of Isaiah. So I encourage you to turn to the book of Isaiah and go to chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Now, one of the things that we're building towards is, of course, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is the declaration of the suffering servant. So the Lord is going to lay out for us his suffering servant, which is the presentation of the Messiah, not as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but as the one who's going to come and take our sin, the burden of our sin, upon himself. And then, after that, he returns as King of Kings. And so the book of Isaiah lays these different things together. And so we're going to build towards Isaiah chapter 53. But I believe it's important for us to pay attention to this concept, this truth of light. So I had you turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Look at verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people, from far. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand has he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now, says the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. I'd like to just examine verse 6 a little bit more deeply. Verse 6, we see it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up what to the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. But what is God saying? God's saying that, listen, my plan is bigger. I have a vision that is larger than just preserving Israel. I will also give you as a what? As a light to the Gentiles. When you look through the Bible categorizes the people of the world. And it accomplishes that in many different ways. But one of the ways is Jew and Gentile. You're either one or the other. I don't know all of you here today in your ethnicity, your background, but Jew or Gentile would cover everybody in this room. Now, we understand that God had called out the Jewish people to be his people. Through Abraham, and then through Isaac, and then his son Jacob. And so Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and so therefore you have these descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who are God's chosen people. And so you read through the Old Testament, these are the people that God works through. And it is a powerful testimony to see how God works through these people, but God touches the lives of others as throughout the process. In my mind, I go to Rahab. God's chosen people came and entered into the promised land, and there's Jericho, and they were going to come take Jericho, and God worked in Rahab's heart to the point she believed. She's a Gentile, her nation, her country, her city is going to be destroyed, and yet God shone a light in her heart, in her life, and she was gloriously saved. My heart goes out to Ruth, a Moabite, in a time of not a pretty time for God's chosen people. A time where they were doing what was right in their own eyes and suffering at the hands of their enemies and famine. And God brought judges at different times into their life to deliver them, but it was only temporary. And yet God worked in Ruth's life. How? Because she interacted with God's people and those that still feared God, and God brought her to be a part of his own people. In fact, part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Ruth. You can look throughout the Old Testament and find different people whose lives were touched, who God turned the light on in their life through his people. So now, Isaiah, writing to the Judean people, who it's prophesied they're going to be taken into captivity by Babylon. Their future is ominous. The next king is going to be one of the most wicked. And Isaiah is writing to this generation that is in the exile in Babylon, and he is reminding them, God has not forgotten you. God has a plan for you. And we've already talked about being God's servant 2 weeks ago. We talked about how that's such an important identity for God's people. We're servants, the servants of the Lord. We talked about how Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant. Israel was God's servant to minister his truth into the world. Here, in this context, we see again that this is, in verse 6, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. In other words, there is more to it than just the tribes of Jacob, just to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles. Why is this necessary? Why is this so important? Well, Paul helps us understand that, and I'm going to take us to that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, because he describes for us the Gentiles. Now, I know this is jumping into the New Testament early church era, but it will help you and I to realize this is our life as Gentiles, as people who are apart from Christ, very much lost. In Ephesians chapter 4, listen to verse 17 and following. Paul writes, "This I say therefore," Ephesians 4, 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." And so Paul describes here for the Ephesian church, this is the life of a Gentile. They are living in the vanity of their own minds. Now for him, he's describing this in the context of writing to the church, to a Gentile church. And the Gentile church is certainly living in a city full of Gentiles. And so they're looking around them and they see how they once lived. And Paul describes that in this very graphic way, and it helps us understand. I've told you this before. My best educational experience, the best way that I know that God has prepared me for pastoring, was those 8 years that he put me in the secular workforce as a land surveyor. I just had somebody walk by or ride their motorcycle the other day. They stopped here, and we were talking, and they said, "Where did you get your education?" And you know, I'm beginning to tell people part of my education was those 8 years working with these guys on the survey, surveying. And what I understood and learned from them was that indeed all they had to live for was encapsulated in their own minds. They created their own gods. And this was their life and the way they looked at life. The vanity of their own mind. Apart from Christ, that's what you've got. The emptiness of your own mind. You create your own gods and goddesses. What else do you have? Verse 18 of Ephesians 4, you have having your understanding darkened. In other words, you don't see it. And there were so many times that I would share, that I would talk about Christ with these guys, and it was just like they just didn't get it. You know, how many times have you experienced that? It's frustrating. It's confusing. You're like, you want to shake them and say, "Can't you understand?" And it took me a while to realize I cannot expect a person who does not have Christ in their life and the Spirit of God in their life to understand. I cannot expect that of them. That's unfair. So what do I have to do? I have to live Christ and speak of Christ, but I am trusting God to what? Open their eyes, to shine the light in their life. So in other words, the world lives in darkness. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. This was the place, this is the place you were before you met Christ. You were alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. A blindness, a darkness. This is why Jesus Christ, God's servant, came. To open the eyes of the blind that they may see. To release the captives from prison that they might be free. The Gentiles in verse 19 of Ephesians 4, they are being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness. In other words, just excess of passions. To work all in cleanness with greediness. That is their life. That is the life that you lived before Christ. That's what you've got. So why is it that in the book of Isaiah, the Lord speaks of his servant and says, you know what? Yes, you are about bringing and restoring my people Israel, but there is more. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. And back in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, the end of the verse goes like this. I will give you for a light to the Gentiles that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And this is so exciting, church. This is so thrilling. We can have true joy because God has sent his son to be the light of the world. Not just the light to the Jewish people, but a light to the world. And that's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. He didn't just say, I am the light to the Jewish people. And this finds its basis in Isaiah because it speaks of being the light to the Gentiles that the salvation may be to the end of the earth. In other words, encapsulating the entirety of all people around the world, all people have the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ is offered by God as Savior to all people. Now, confirmation of this is what you find in Revelation, right? I mean, isn't it so thrilling to think about in Revelation, sitting around the throne, and you're hearing praise be unto God from what? From every tongue, from every tribe, from every people, and from every nation. This is heaven. This is eternity. And the throne room of heaven is filled with the voices from Africa, from Australia, from Asia, from America, from all over the world. And it's not just tied to your ethnicity, but God said, I give you my servant as a light unto the Gentiles. Flip over a few pages in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to come across these passages, but the Isaiah talks about the suffering servant, and then the latter chapters of Isaiah talk about the kingdom. And I hope we need to realize that there is a coming kingdom. There is a political climate that's going to overwhelm this earth that is righteous. Where Jesus Christ sits on the throne and he rules perfectly. We always have something to look forward to, don't we, church? And although we may be frustrated with the political climate of our day, there is coming a day when we will not be frustrated by the political climate, but it will be such as perfect and righteous. There will be no question as to the rulings and executive orders that come down from the top. They will be right on. Right on. No questions. And Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 says, "Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Yes, the Lord will rule from Jerusalem. He will be sitting on the throne of David. Yes, it will be considered the kingdom of Israel. But yet what we see is that all the world, Gentiles included, will be drawn to him and his light. His light. This was something that the Jewish people held on to. And how do we know that? Well, turn to the Gospel of Luke and go to Luke chapter 2. We're given a little glimpse of a man's life named Simeon. And I share this little glimpse of his life with you because I believe it's important for you to see that what Isaiah wrote hundreds of years prior to Christ coming still was in the hearts of people who feared God, still was in the hearts of people that paid attention to the Old Testament scriptures, still was on the hearts of people that were not distracted by the religion, the Pharisaical way of doing for the appearance sake, but missing the heart. And this man, Simeon, served the Lord, and the Lord had told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. But I want you to see what Simeon has to say here. So those of you that are remember the story, let me just rehearse it for us. Joseph and Mary come to Jerusalem, and Simeon is serving in the temple. They come to bring their sacrifices. And you pick up in verse 26. Luke 2:26 reads this way, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ," that is the Lord's chosen one, the Lord's Messiah. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," now this is the baby Jesus, "Lord," verse 29, "now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now, where would Simeon have such a theological understanding? You see, he understood what God had told the people from Isaiah. That God has a plan, and it encapsulates all the ends of the earth. But you know, God works through his people to spread his light. And so he did. This is the way he works. He chooses and he calls out his people, the Jewish people. And it is through them that all are blessed. How? Jesus Christ. Light was brought into the world through the Jewish people. And Jesus Christ then. Now, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5? Let me remind you, let's put these things together for us so that we, as we walk away from this place today, we are reminded of our place in God's plan. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus speaking to his disciples, his followers, and he says to them, you are the light of the world. Now, these were all Jewish people that he's speaking to. And he's speaking to them and he says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so, therefore, Jesus, speaking to his Jewish followers, to his Jewish disciples, reminds them their role, their part in God's plan is that they are a light unto the world. What does that mean? It means that they are to live in such a way so when people see their life, they are brought to the bringing glory to the Father, God. Now, I know I'm taking you through several passages, but I'm excited about how all this fits together, and it began here in these words in Isaiah. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is a Gentile church. These are believers who have come to faith in Christ, and they're not Jewish. Gentile. And in Ephesians chapter 5, we read these words, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not you therefore partakers with them. Now look at verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. And what does he say? Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Well, this is not a new message for us. I look over this crowd and I've seen you all before. And I believe you've sat under the teaching of the Word of God many times. But I am convinced that we need reminders every once in a while. And this important reminder of God calling us to walk as children of light, we need to hear it today. Why? Because we live in a climate, and I don't mean a hot and cold, that kind of climate. We live in a world, in a culture that is doing its own thing, that is lost in the vanity of its own mind, where words are being redefined, and where the church and where Christians are being deceived. We need to remember that Christianity is not complicated, but it's about Jesus Christ, and we must remember to keep Him central in our life and keep His Word, His Gospel, central in our conversation. So therefore, walk as children of light. Jesus Christ is that light. You are called to shine forth that light as you live in this world. The answer is not to just board up your homes and stay inside. The answer is for us to be in the world, but not of the world. The answer is for us to be out there and to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the answer. The problem is sin. It's not overly complicated. The problem is sin. That's what's causing all the mess. And there is only one solution for sin. Think about it. If you don't caught sin, what solution do you have? Pick. You can try all kinds of choices. Let's realize something. Jesus Christ came to save sinners and to call them unto repentance. And so Isaiah, as he declares to the Judean people, my servant I will send to be a light unto the Gentiles, also to restore my people Israel, but also to be a light unto the Gentiles, that my salvation might be unto the ends of the earth. That is where we fit. Jesus Christ has shown his light in your life. But that's not the end. Don't put a bushel over yourself. But realize you're the candle. You're the city that sat on a hill. Let your light shine. Speak of Christ. And realize that you will get strange looks. You will hear strange language when you speak of Jesus. But you know what? Jesus is the solution, and God will work in the hearts and minds of people just like he did in you. He will turn the lights on. He will turn the lights on. There are our friends, our family members, our co-workers who do not know the Lord. They are lost. They're blind. They cannot see the truth. They're deceived. And the deception is thick around us, isn't it? Oh. Christianity is going to be ridiculed. Christians will be persecuted. You will have things said to you, I will have things said to me, that you won't like, that will hurt. Nobody said Christianity was a cakewalk or something easy, and that's something that American Christians don't always understand. But I tell you, our brothers and sisters around the world do. We can learn much from them. So the call today is walk as children of light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this clear admonition and purpose for us. Use it in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.